The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Miss my cue. Blame it on the new kid. Looks like I'll be having to see Jimmy every single Saturday now. Nonetheless, good morning. He always was a bit of a slacker when it came to getting out of the way. But really, good to have Jimmy. Good morning. Welcome to part two of our Saturday morning live and local lineup, where we kick it off now with the Jimmy Sangenberger Show from 6 to 9 a.m., and I take you up to noon. We take your calls all morning long at 303-696-1971. 696-1971. And today is really a big day for commemoration. Not only do we have the bloodbath to celebrate and to talk about, but 121 years ago today, Abraham Lincoln was elected President of the United States. 1860, 121 years ago today, Abraham Lincoln elected President of the United States. My, oh my, how the mighty Republicans have fallen. And I say that in spite of what was a wonderful Tuesday. Some great wins here in Colorado, certainly Virginia, the race is still on in New Jersey, the closeness of the governor's race there is spectacularly surprising. And some of the wins and the pickups in New Jersey, the judges in Pennsylvania, and on and on and on. Hopefully we'll get to talk about that more in depth as the time moves on. But it just struck me this morning when I saw that today was, in fact, the 121st anniversary of the election of Abraham Lincoln, the Republican Party, the party that came to power to stop slavery. And I'm getting texts that we've got no sound. Are we good? Okay. All right. I don't know what was said and what wasn't. Do you have any idea how long we were down? Okay. Well, let's do it this way then. Let's just do this.
Celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music. Celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music.
Yeah, celebrate the bloodbath last Tuesday. Big victories here in Colorado. Didn't get them all. Got some important ones. Aurora City Council, Douglas County School Board, and more. Hopefully we'll go down the list when we have a little bit more time in the 10 o'clock hour. I already mentioned Virginia, and the Democrats just conceded their state house this morning, I think, early this morning. Maybe it was late yesterday. But New Jersey governor's race is still being contested, and the margins there are tiny. But, man, there were great victories elsewhere. Connecticut and judges in Pennsylvania and just on and on and on. And the Democrats know it. They know that they are on the ropes. And then I wake up this morning and I realize that it's the 121st anniversary of the election of Abraham Lincoln back in 1860, the start of the Republican Party, a party that was founded on putting an end to slavery. And what do we get after this momentous off-year election result from Republicans? We get 13 Republicans. I think it was 17 in the Senate. We'll look at those in a minute as well. 13 Republicans that help sleepy, creepy, zombie, putative President Joe Biden snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, give Nancy Pelosi another win in the House. And no one from Colorado voted for this. I just think these names need to be mentioned quickly. they should go down in infamy. They should be primaried viciously next year. And by that, I don't mean in a nasty way, let's be as mean as we can. I mean aggressively, full court press. Alaska, Representative Don Young. Pennsylvania Rep. Brian Fitzpatrick. New York Rep. Andrew Garbarino. Ohio Rep. Anthony Gonzalez. New York Rep. John Katko. New York Rep. Nicole Malliotakis. I've heard her on TV talking like a Republican, but she voted to save the Biden presidency yesterday. West Virginia Rep. Dave McKinley. New York Rep. Tom Reed. New Jersey. Chris Smith. Michigan. Fred Upton. Nebraska. Don Beacon. New Jersey. Jeff Van Drew. And Illinois Rep. Not running again. Notch number two on the MAGA movement belt of Congress critters who voted to impeach Donald Trump. Adam Kinzinger jumped on board. Five Democrats, the entire squad, Ayanna Pressley, Ilhan Omar, Cori Bush, Rashida Tlaib, Ocasio-Cortez, and a guy named Jamal Bowman, voted against this bill because it wasn't radical enough. But we had these 13 Republicans who made it happen. This bill would not have passed. The Biden presidency would not have been dragged off of life support again by Republicans who cave on debt ceilings, who cave on continuing resolutions, and now cave on this so-called infrastructure bill. I started to break down the math, and I ran out of time, so maybe on a break I'll add it up out of this, what, $1.8 trillion, is it? There's a few hundred billion, you know, significant amount of money that go or come out at least from this $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. But it doesn't add up to $1.2 trillion. Out of $1.2 trillion, you get $110 billion for roads and bridges. You get $39 billion for public transit. You get $66 billion in passenger and freight rail. $7.5 billion for electric vehicles. $65 billion in internet access. $65 billion in modernizing the electric grid, $25 billion for airports. What do they have left over to trash your life with next? It's Green New Deal garbage. It is raising taxes garbage. It's 2,000 pages that nobody ever read. And Republicans, the 13 that I named, bailed this economic death spiral for America, this death knell for the Biden putative presidency, bailed them completely out of this death spiral. And I've been in a death spiral in an airplane once in my life. So I use that term very, very seriously. But let's not forget that the Senate is the organization that passed this albatross and sent it back to the House. How long ago was that? Let's see. I think August it was. The news story I pulled up was from August 10th. The U.S. Senate passed an historic, sweeping $1.2 trillion bipartisan package on Tuesday. They save the Biden presidency. And who were those traitors? 19. Is that too harsh? Let me put it this way. I don't mean traitors to the United States of America, who should be hauled off to jail and given a trial and summarily executed at the end of the trial, as, you know, wartime traitors often were, sometimes without trial. I mean, they're traitors to the Republican platform. They're traitors to the MAGA movement that has infused the Republican Party with so much energy and so much unity. And they bail out Nancy Pelosi and putative President Joe Biden time and time again. Let's not forget the magic 19 senators who put this bill into the hands of Nancy Pelosi and the House of Representatives back in August. Roy Blunt of Missouri, Richard Burr, North Carolina, Bill Cassidy, Louisiana, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia. I remember reading these same names back in August. Susan Collins of Maine, Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, Mike Crapo, Crapo seems to fit. Mike Crapo of Idaho, Deb Fisher of Nebraska, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. There's a surprise. Chuck Grassley of Iowa. I just came back from Iowa. What wonderful people there. We'll talk about Trevor Loudon's new movie, hopefully in the 10 o'clock hour with you there as well. John Hoven, or Haven, Hoven it looks like, of North Dakota. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Rob Portman of Ohio, not running again. A couple of those names I read aren't running again. Jim Risch of Idaho, Dan Sullivan of Alaska, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Roger Wicker of Mississippi. And then, of course, Mitt Romney of Utah and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Those are the 19 Republican senators that handed this bill over to the House back in August. Republicans had an opportunity to stand for something. And instead, the 13 House Republicans I just listed completely propped up Nancy Pelosi and creepy Joe Biden one more time. And man, oh man, when I say creepy, whoo, have you seen the diary? The diary of the granddaughter of Joe Biden. Apparently, the FBI raided Project Veritas and got the diary, which certainly makes you wonder about any challenges to the veracity of that thing. Obviously, they think it's evidence of something. More and more of the apparently incestuous nature, sick relationships within the directly within the Biden household would explain an awful lot about Hunter Biden and his behavior, would it not? More and more of that's going to be coming out. And as we move forward, taking these victories from Tuesday and starting to prepare for midterms, the most critical midterms where right now predictions are Republicans take the Senate, predictions are Republicans take the House, that stops the Biden agenda in its tracks from advancing any further. And with this opportunity, flush with victory from Tuesday in so many surprising results based on pundits, based on polls, based on depressed Republicans who don't understand the power of the MAGA movement, the power of Donald Trump, the unity that exists in this party from people who are fighting for the future of America. It's no longer about policy politics. We are talking about survival. Survival of liberty, survival financially, survival from having potentially poisonous substances injected into our arms. Testimony to a Senate committee from a lawyer representing a doctor who reported multiple vaccine injuries to the VIRS system and never heard back, finally wrote a letter directly to the CDC and never heard back. Then the lawyer wrote a letter. And so they responded and said, yeah, nothing to see here. I've got a list of those injuries. We know what happened to our Denver police officer, Jose Manriquez, 34 years old, father of four, had COVID, so was full of antibody, raging with antibodies, healthy, an athlete, jabbed on August 22nd, couldn't walk on his own by August 31st. Take the vaccine if you want it, but to force it on you, to try and connive you into forcing it into your kids, please, please don't allow coercion and propaganda and force be the decision maker, or just convenience. Gosh, I'm just tired of fighting. Gosh, it's so hard to find something to do with my kids where they don't require proof of vaccination. It's so hard to deal with finding alternatives to the public school system as they make things harder and harder. Please, please, please don't concede. We don't know the consequences of these jabs yet. We know what they can be for some people. The numbers are extraordinary. Any other vaccine in history that had these numbers of injuries and deaths would have, and I use the term vaccine very loosely, would have been pulled from the market. Pending further study, this was rushed. And it's okay. It can save lives. And for people who make that decision, who balance those equities, go through the equations and the thought processes for themselves, their families, their elder family members, their family members who are in ill health or whatever, okay, that's your decision. But the government mandates, all of these issues that Republicans can stand strong on and run to victory in 2022 on, and we have these 19 Republican senators in August, and then after a stunning bloodbath Tuesday, these 13 Republican House members pull the Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Ocasio-Cortez agenda. And I know she voted against this because it's not radical enough, but this is another step their direction. And they pull them out of the death spiral. It's unconscionable. Text messages pouring into the studio. Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell need to be removed from office, need to be forced out, humiliated out. It's just unbelievable, the level of strategery that apparently goes on behind the scenes to allow these people to justify these decisions. Do they not ever lift their head out of the Beltway bubble and see what's happening around the country, how citizens are mobilizing and coming together to stand up against out-of-control school boards, out-of-control local governments, out-of-control health departments? And now they're going to be saddled with out-of-control spending at a Christmas where the cost of a, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, cost of a turkey more than doubling, and Christmas presents still sitting on the boats and off the shore of California with empty semi-trucks lining the streets. I saw it for myself just a couple of weeks ago. All of this energy, all of this potential, and a certain group of Republicans squander it. This is why I got involved as a Tea Party leader in Republican politics. There's no other place for the fight. We know what the Democrats are. We know what they will do. The fight remains within the Republican Party. And day after day, we have to hear about the fact that candidates need to run away from Trump, that we need to temper our conversations and just talk constantly about, you know, generically improving people's lives with more jobs and higher wages. And those are great things to talk about. But the United States of America is at a tipping point. Our freedoms are fully at stake. And so now's the time to fight. Now's the time to rise up against these Republicans who voted against Republican principles, voted against the Republican platform, and saved the Biden presidency, putative as it is, one more time. I know we've got callers on the line, and I want everybody to be really, really patient. Wayne Allen Root will be joining us in the 11 o'clock hour. U.S. Senate candidate Eric Odland will be our guest at the Arapaho Tea Party. Our meeting is coming up on Tuesday from 6:30 to 8:30, South Metro Fire Rescue. The event is posted on Facebook, and you can go to Eventbrite to get your free tickets. And we're going to have some conversations at the Tea Party, which, by the way, I entitled Bloodbath. We'll be doing some celebration. We'll break down some of the great victories and then talk about this horrific decision by Republicans to save the Biden presidency one more time, or at least add a little more life support, keep it going a little bit longer. What a mistake that was. Eric Odland will be our guest there, and that's why he's going to come on at 10:30. We'll talk, preview a little bit about what he's going to talk to you about. Running for U.S. Senate candidate, whole bunch of people running now. It's going to be a very interesting primary in that race. But we're also going to talk about the future of the Arapaho Tea Party because, you know, we've been limited in the number of people that can come. We have to cut off our ticket sales. The Eventbrite is Arapaho Tea Party November meeting, easy to find. We have to cut off the ticket, not sales really, but disbursement, because we simply have space limits. We have been offered some space. We're working on, and I'll hopefully be able to identify that location on Tuesday, try and lock that down where we would literally have unlimited numbers. And we could, and we've had people ask about broadcasting those things, that, you know, Zooming them so more people can participate and we can organize and move more people forward. not so much against the Democrats, but to hold the Republicans accountable to the Republican platform, to the Republican message, to the winning message of America First. All laid out for 4 years by President Donald J. Trump. So much to do, and I hope you'll come and join us Tuesday at the Arapahoe Tea Party. Also have a fun event next Saturday where we're going to be educating the public at a church. We'll give you the details on that before the show is over about Roe v. Wade. And apparently we're going to try and do it from an apolitical perspective. That'll be interesting to see what we can do. But right now I want to get to the break because when we return, Peter Navarro, Dr. Peter Navarro, advisor to President Donald J. Trump, author of the new book, In Trump Time, will join us, and I want to spend a good chunk of time with him. So everybody on the phone, sit tight. We will get to everybody's call before the show is over. It's 9:20 right here on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS. We're back at 9:26, 710 KNUS. I'm Randy Corcoran, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. So excited to welcome our next guest onto 710 KNUS. His name is Peter Navarro, former advisor to President Trump. Dr. Peter Navarro obtained his MPA and PhD from Harvard, his BA from Tufts. His new book is out, and I hope we get to talk quite a bit about it. It's called In Trump Time, a Journal of America's Plague Year. But there's so much I'd love to get out of our next guest, and I'm happy to welcome him now. Good morning, Peter.
Hey, Brother Randy. Hey, you know what? There's actually a nice little section in the In Trump Time book about the 4 months I spent in Denver. I was in the Peace Corps, and I spent 4 months at an Army military school teaching me how to be a biomedical equipment technician. Not very often you have one of those with a Harvard PhD in economics, but the point of the thing in the In Trump Time book was that it really taught me problem solving and helped me when the pandemic hit to really work in Trump time, which is to say as soon as possible, to make sure every American had ventilators and masks, testing kits and all of that. So thanks to Denver. I enjoyed the Mile High City while I was there.
Well, and Doctor, you've been a great prognosticator, too. You sounded the alarm on the China pandemic. You exposed Dr. Fauci early on. And, of course, we're always called crazy and conspiracy theorists. But over time, those things are proven out. And nothing different with your expose on the election. You did the most comprehensive expose early on about the fraudulent election that stands up in really every aspect today. Is there anything in those three sections of that expose that you would change or back up from the Navarro report?
Not at all, Randy. You're spot on that. This election was stolen. In the In Trump Time book, I talk about how there's a chapter in there where it's like after the November 3rd election, there was obvious irregularities that I expected the Trump campaign itself to investigate and challenge the results, and they didn't do that. So it was Thanksgiving Day. I go into the office, no turkey, no football, no problem. Put my head down. There's like thousands of pages of affidavits on my desk. Rolled up my sleeves and discovered there was no silver bullet that the Democrats used to steal the election. Rather, it was death by a thousand irregularities. And I show just how they do it. And I've been heartened by the fact that, for example, in Arizona, when the Senate did its forensic audit of results out there, they used the results of my analysis for their template. And in the In Trump Time book, I talk about ghost voters, for example. These are the voters who will vote from an address absentee, and you go and go see that they don't actually exist, right? And, for example, in Arizona, the forensic audit there found 50,000 ghost voters. Now, we know that Biden got the absentees by a ratio of at least 2-1. So if you throw out those 50,000 illegal ghost voters from the Arizona count alone, and this was just Maricopa County, if you throw those 50,000 out, Randy, that's a 17,000 vote swing in favor of Trump, which is enough right there to erase the victory margin alleged by Biden. So they're right there. They should decertify the results in Arizona. But the other, I think, critical thing about the In Trump Time book, which you mentioned, is Fauci. Here's my guarantee, Randy. Read that book. Anybody who reads that book, if you don't believe that Fauci belongs in an orange jumpsuit in prison for the rest of his life, I'll give you double your money back. Because I make the case against that guy that he committed, Randy, the biggest lie of omission. There's a great scene in Chapter 2 where I face off with him in the Situation Room over the China travel ban. It's the end of January 2020, the dawn of the pandemic. But the bigger thing about seeing him that day was he knew, Randy, he knew that very day that what did he know? He knew the virus came from Wuhan. He knew it came from in yards of that Wuhan bioweapons lab. He knew, but he didn't tell us that he had financed the lab and that he had authorized gain-of-function experiments that can turn a harmless bat virus into a human killer. And he had already been told by a Scripps Institute scientist that virus was genetically engineered, ergo a bioweapon. He knew all of that, Randy. End of January 2020, he did not breathe a word of that to the president, the task force, me, the vice president, his entire tenure right up to Election Day. He kept that to himself. If we had known what Fauci knew then, we would have been able to save millions of people worldwide because we would have quickly got to the bottom of the genome of that virus. We still don't have it to this day. We could have got a better vaccine faster, and we would have been much more mobilized more quickly against the demon virus from communist China that hit us with Fauci's help.
Talking to Dr. Peter Navarro, a former assistant to President Trump, director of the Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy during the administration. The new book, In Trump Time, A Journal of America's Plague Year. I just got a copy of it a couple of days ago. I just missed a plane trip, so I've dug in. I've got a couple questions for you that I've pulled out of what I've read. But I would love to talk politics with you a moment, because let me give you my background just really quick. I'm the Republican National Committee man from Colorado, but I'm also the chair of the largest Tea Party organization in Colorado, and it was my activities in the Tea Party that got my eye on the Republican Party, not to become a traditional Republican, but to challenge the Republican Party to get back to its principles, to its wonderful platform, to the things that animate the MAGA movement and the America First movement right now, and really helped turn the corner on these Tuesday elections earlier this week. And yet, within my own party, the people who are on the air, on the radio, that write in newspapers and elsewhere, what we're told is that we need to back away from Donald Trump. We need to not point out that there's now a criminal investigation in Arizona, that there are criminal investigations in Wisconsin on election fraud, that we need to stop talking about those things and instead turn our attention to, you know, making people feel good, that we'll bring you better paying jobs, we'll help lower your taxes again, you know, all the old traditional mantras. And my position is there's no more time for negotiated politics. This is an all-out assault and war on the United States of America. And I just don't plan to back down. I think the MAGA movement is alive and well, even here in Colorado, and that people need to continue to organize and have their voices heard, that what the old guard is telling us is the wrong recipe. It's a recipe for disaster for the future.
If this were Sunday, brother, I'd be saying amen over and over and over again. The organizing principle of the In Trump Time book is that we have to get to the bottom of what happened on November 3rd before we can move forward. And what you're describing really is a battle now for the hearts and minds of the Republican Party. Before Trump came along, the Republican Party was the party of the corporate globalist elites. It was the party of Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy, who fed at the trough of corporate contributions from big corporations that loved to offshore our jobs to the sweatshops of Asia. Full stop. It's the party of Davos, the party of Wall Street. Trump comes along, transforms the Republican Party into the party of the working class. For a while, he's able to hold at bay these rhino Republicans, the Ben Sasses, the Mitt Romneys, the McConnells. But they, after the election, smelled blood in the water, and they're doing everything they can to take him out, including spinning this false narrative about how we need to look forward rather than get to the bottom. And then ask you this, Randy, and we know now, right? We know now unequivocally from history that Kennedy stole the election from Nixon through Mayor Daley in Chicago using the ghost voter methodology I showed you earlier in our talk here, right? These ghost voters, people who vote absentee who don't exist, right? So suppose you and I were sitting here in November of 1961. Would we be talking wistfully about the future and having Nixon run again in 64 or 68 and just moving forward and maybe we'll clean it up before then? Or would we be just irate and demanding a forensic audit and having Nixon be given his proper place in the White House? And I think that's where we're at now. And the In Trump Time book does prove unequivocally this election was stolen. We need this November 3rd movement. We need full forensic audits. And I'm glad you're standing up, Randy, to these rhino capitulating appeasement Neville Chamberlain Republicans like McConnell, that their hidden agenda really is the return to the status quo ante of corporate globalist elitism.
Dr. Navarro, did you ever read the book, The Blueprint, How Democrats Won Colorado, Why Republicans Everywhere Should Care?
No, but it's fascinating to me that a state like Colorado, having lived both in Denver and at one point in the People's Republic of Boulder, how that state could be blue, given the spirit and independence and just the grandeur of that state. But tell me.
Well, the reason I bring it up is two of the four architects of the blueprint, one is our current governor, Jared Polis, another is a guy I really like personally. I hate how good he is at his leftist politics. His name's Ted Trimpa, regular guest on other shows on this station. But Colorado was the state where the blueprint was created. Virginia was the second state that they took the blueprint to and flipped Virginia. So there are some parallels between the change in Colorado and the change in Virginia. Now look at the race in Virginia on Tuesday, and what the old guard Republicans and their acolytes are telling us is the reason that the governorship was won in Virginia was because the candidate stayed away from Trump. And the folks who just, you know, couldn't stand Trump's personality were willing to come out and vote for a Republican. And, you know, every time you turned around, every Democrat that appeared for Terry McAuliffe was bringing Trump into this election. So there's no staying away from Trump. You watched what was going on in Virginia much closer than I was able to. Did Youngkin have a strategy of not affiliating himself in any way with President Trump? Is that why he won in Virginia?
It's total BS. I mean, the Trump base was clearly mobilized. I'm sure you know about Steve Bannon's war room. There's John Fredericks, who's, what is he, the flamethrower of truth out there. And, you know, the Trumpism was really alive and well in that. And of course, okay, of course, it's going to be revisionist history that Trump was played down it. But that's just wrong. I mean, it's just, I don't know how to say it other than that's just it
seems
narrative
like
narrative from both BS people.
Well, and I certainly know Steve, he's been a visitor to our Tea Party here, Arapaho Tea Party. He zoomed in for us last year. And I've met John Fredericks multiple times when I've been at Republican events or CPAC. Great patriots. And the war room and the MAGA posse really did get invested in the Virginia race. And it's just incredible to me that somehow pundits think that good Republican candidates can't talk about issues and still talk about addressing the November 3rd election or the incredibly successful policies of Donald Trump. To have to distance yourself. Yeah, but in the election, he lost by 13 points, 14 points in our state. Well, you know, let's look at the election, number one. But number two, these are different times. People have seen the results. Even the Republicans who walked away from Donald Trump and voted for Joe Biden have seen the results of that egregious sin.
Yeah, well, any of those margins, that's why we need like a full forensic audit, not just for the six battleground states, but of all of them. Because I can assure you there was chicanery in Fairfax County and perhaps elsewhere in Virginia. But I'm glad you're fighting a good fight. I'm glad we could talk about what we're talking about today. This In Trump Time book is important. Because its missions are important, and the missions are pretty simple. It's to fire Fauci. It's to hold the Chinese Communist Party financially accountable through reparations for the damages it's imposed on the United States. It is to get to the bottom of November 3rd and also clear up the January 6th issue where Pence betrayed Trump. And as I write in the In Trump Time book on chapter 21, as dawn breaks over a cold and windy, raw Washington, D.C., the sun tries to shine over the mall. The last three people on God's good earth who want violence on Capitol Hill are Donald John Trump, Stephen K. Bannon, and myself. And the reason why is we had this in homage to the NFL, the Green Bay Packers sweep strategy, to challenge the election results, return them back to the states for another look. And Pence was supposed to be the quarterback. But there's a fascinating story in the book as to how he was basically cuckolded into betraying the Caesar Trump and playing the Et tu Brute moment there. But we got to get to the bottom of November 3rd, bottom line.
Sure. Well, excuse me, I represent Professor John Eastman here in Colorado, and so he's become a friend. And the true story of January 6th, all of that is coming out. We're up against a break. I would love to ask you some specific questions about what I've gotten into in your book, Trump Time. I don't know if you have time. It's a short break, about 3 minutes. You have time to stick around, or do you need to go?
Unfortunately, they budgeted you and didn't sure. tell me that. If we can we do this again next week? I'd be happy to
love
come
to
back. Just get my booker, and we'll do that. In the meantime, it'll give you a chance to read the book, and you'll have even more questions.
Sounds good. I love how you define Trump time. Number one, to implement a government policy or action as quickly as possible. Number two, the age of the presidency of Donald Trump. It is a great read so far. We will definitely have you back. Thank you for your time. Sorry for the sidetracks, but they're important to Coloradans who listen to this show. And I really appreciate your courage and your being willing to speak the truth everywhere you go. God bless you, sir.
Thank you so much, sir.
Better believe
it.
Dr. Peter Navarro. Yep. The book is In Trump Time, and I am really enjoying it. All right. Quick break. One line is open, 303-696-1971. Chuck and Don, sit tight. We'll be right back on 710 KNUS. We're back at 947 with full lines, 303-696-1971. When somebody drops off, you can jump on. And we had a bit of a glitch at the start of the show, I guess a couple minutes. I don't know what you were able to hear and what you didn't hear. So at the top of the hour, we're going to reset a little bit. I have got a national anthem version that is very hard to hear, but we can play it in full as opposed to the 30-second snippets or 29-second snippets we're allowed to do right now. So we'll reset at the top of the hour with our Pledge of Allegiance and jump into this very significant national anthem. I'll tell you the entire story, and we'll crank it up so you can hear it just as best as we can. But right now, with many patient callers on the line, let's start with Chuck in Tulsa. Good morning.
Hello?
Hey, Chuck.
Hello?
We're here. Can you hear us?
Oh, I can, like, when I put the speaker on, when I turn the speaker off, it just goes all right. Blank.
Lay it on
okay,
us.
So anyway, I wanted to say that I guess I could understand, like, with those who voted for this so-called infrastructure bill, if they got some guarantees, like, about the border. And I don't remember any Republican asking for any demands, like, about, securing that border or anything. They should be reminded how hard it is to recruit a good candidate and how hard the campaign is. And then you take a vote like that and just throw it away. It's like killing someone. I mean, it's just, I can't comprehend it.
It's just drastically stupid and just pumps life into a presidential administration that is absolutely on life support. Nancy Pelosi has never lost a bill that she has brought to the floor. And that's why she kept waiting and kept waiting and kept waiting. And then all of a sudden, these 13 Republicans pull their fat out of the fire and save this albatross. It's outrageous. And it's just another reason why we can't continue to listen to the old guard Republicans.
Right. And it would be different, too, if there had been a mandate for all that. But as you remember, and everybody knows, the only mandate there was, like, or I should say, the only thing presented forth in that campaign was to get rid of Donald Trump. That's the only thing that, in my recollection, that was ever campaigned on. And this deal about running away from Trump and the America First agenda, I think, is totally ridiculous. I think that's a roadmap to disaster, because it's running back to the middle. Okay, well, then if that's the case, let's bring back Mitt Romney in 2024 or the John McCain types, you know. Is that really a winning strategy? I just don't think so.
Well, the same people who are telling us how to behave as we head into the midterms next year are the same people that brought us, you know, Walker Stapleton and Bob Beaupre, and just the sort of typical nothing to hate here Republican who don't fight with every ounce of blood and sweat and tears that they have, don't punch back, don't identify the evil that is the left in action right now. And so maybe they just don't lose as badly. I guess maybe that's what those guys are looking for. But it's the wrong strategy, and as time, I have some numbers here. I don't know if we'll get into them from Virginia. The unaffiliateds, those treasured unaffiliateds, only turned out, I think it was less than 30%. It was the MAGA movement, the Trump Republicans, that turned out in force, 60 to 70%, as I recall. I don't have them in front of me right now, so I'll clean that up when I pull those up. But the mystical unaffiliateds don't always break or don't come out in force if you don't give them a reason to.
Exactly. Just one more thing, I'll let you go, is I like what Ron DeSantis is now calling the Biden administration. He calls it the Brandon administration.
Yeah. Yeah. He's hilarious.
It's great.
Just terrific. All right,
okay,
Chuck.
Randy.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Chuck's line is open, 303-696-1971. 696-1971. Don't forget the Arapaho Tea Party meeting Tuesday. If you go to Eventbrite, put in Arapaho Tea Party November meeting, you'll see the bright red bloodbath meme and a description. One of our guests on Tuesday will be U.S. Senate candidate Eric Odland. He's going to join us at 10:30 to talk about 10:25 to talk to us about that. But let's get back to the phones with Don in Colorado Springs. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Randy.
Howdy.
This is one of the biggest reasons that happened last night is one of the reasons why I do not want to come back to the Republican Party, and why Colorado has that amendment allowing open primaries. People do not want to be part of a party that just constantly knifes them in the back. And once again, the rhinos, which I will agree with you, did just very that. And I will also say Virginia flipped because he did distance himself from Donald Trump, and he focused on the school board. So there is a middle. Elections are still one in the middle. The MAGA movement are ideologues just as much as the left are.
The MAGA movement are people who simply believe in more freedom, more prosperity,
yes,
more security. and aren't willing to continue to compromise our country off the leftist
cliff. But they need to let go of Donald Trump and find a Reagan-esque character.
Yeah, it's outrageous. Without the Trump and MAGA movement in Virginia, there would have been no victory there.
But he distanced himself from Donald Trump. Hey. He focused on the school board. You're trying to bring back Donald Trump in, and I will say
why do you say that? Why do you say don't yell at me. Why do you say I'm trying to bring Donald Trump back in? I'm saying we don't need to run from Donald Trump and the success of his policies.
Yes, you do need to run from Trump.
You don't.
You don't run away from his what he did. But you run away from him.
Don, how are you going to run away from the guy who is going to be the next Republican presidential nominee?
And I'm going to tell you right now, Stu Varney is sending out a warning that if he runs, you're going to see Biden or worse. So Kamala Harris win the office. They don't want Trump. It is like a bad husband that these women don't want to be with.
Thanks for your time, Don.
Have a good one.
All right, Don in Colorado Springs. All right, Sasha, Joe, we probably don't have time to dig into your calls, but we've got plenty of time on the other side of this break, so I hope you'll stay with me. Before we run away, though, I mentioned probably in the part of the show you didn't hear when we were having our glitch about the diary, and I said Jill and Joe's granddaughter, her daughter is the person whose diary it was. It's because I've got grandchildren on the mind. My youngest grandbaby, Arthur, had his first birthday, and he spent it in the ER. And turns out he had massive ear infections and fever. It was just terrible. And they fixed him right up, and he's doing great. And we postponed. We're going to celebrate his first birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday, dear Arthur. Can't wait to see you. And before we get to break, let me tell you about my good friend, Dr. Julie McCallan. Studies show an important link between stress and the immune system. And, man, I'll tell you, if you don't feel it coming into flu season and all the pressure for mandatory vaccines, the body's stress response is meant to protect us from danger, but it can hurt us when we have it forever, over a prolonged period of time. It makes it harder to fight illness, makes you feel worse about your life and about your future, low energy, poor sleep, all of those things. But Julie McCallan and her team at Cenogenics have pioneered the medical specialty of age management. I don't know what I'd do without Cenogenics right now. It's made such a difference in my life with weight gain and motivation to exercise, and I'm eating right. And it's just, to tell the truth, I'm eating better. Let me just put it that way. But Dr. Julie and her team can help you find the program and the system that works best to get your health and metabolism on top of its game as we head into the cold months of winter right here in Colorado. Call Cenogenics. Schedule your consultation today. Their number is 720-387-3681. That's 720-387-3681. Or check out the website, denver.cenogenics.com, denver.cenogenics.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.